if your confidence is built on anything other than who you are, it will fail. It will falter. It will be shaky. It will be unstable. It will not last. And it will not get you to God's purpose for your life or your vision for your life. Welcome to episode 82 of Think Like a Champion. And remember, this podcast is dedicated to helping you win in every way and enjoy every day. Before we dive in, I just got to say, wow, thank you for everyone who was a part of our 30-year church anniversary this past weekend. And man, if you missed it, make sure to go to lifechangerschurch.com and watch that again. Go to our YouTube channel and check that out. It will radically transform your life. It will set you up for the greatest days of your life because your next days are going to be your best days. Your next days are going to be your greatest days. And boy, when you would get a hold, when you can get a hold of what God can do and what God has done, it will launch you into what He will do next. When you just give thanks for what He has done and look at how God has moved in our lives, look at how God has moved in our church, look at how God can use all of the people. When you stay together and when you stay with it, woo! And so go to lifechangerschurch.com for that. Also, if you were with us Sunday night during our anniversary weekend, then you will have heard the song, the original song by Life Changers, and it's called Stay With It, just like what our wall says. And when you learn how to stay with it, and when you stay with it, everything is going to be all right. So I'm really excited about what happened and what God did in the last, not just the weekend, but in the last 30 years, but what He's going to do in your life in the next 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, 30 years. Your best days are your next days. I also want to thank you for being a part of the Think Like a Champion podcast and spreading the word. We are building a community of champions. Thank you for being a part of it. Every post, every review really does make a difference in helping us reach more people. So thank you and keep on sharing. I want to dive right into our content now today, the power of vision and where does your confidence lie? Where does your confidence lie? Now, before I answer that question, where our confidence lies, I want to talk about vision for a moment and how vision starts with three questions that must be answered in our lives that will launch us into the highest vision and the greatest dreams of your life. These three questions, once answered, they guarantee that you can fulfill your God-given vision and God-given destiny and purpose for your life. But I want to make sure that you understand that, see, so many podcasts on today are about health or about financial wealth and well-being, and it's so vital that we get a hold of how God views money and how God views wealth and how God views how we handle and how we steward over the things that He gives us. But I want to make it very clear that where there is vision, there will always be provision. You see, provision to me is having the resources that you need to fulfill the vision that you have in your life or that God has for you in your life. So if you're just focused on provision, if you're just focused on abundance, if you're just focused on having more and having all that you need, your life will fall short of the fulfillment that you were created for because you'll never truly be satisfied in life until you're doing what you were born to do, until you are doing what you were created to do. Think about that. No amount of money in this world will make you happy if you are not doing what God created you to do. And if you're doing what you were born to do, what God created you to do, there is no amount of money that can replace that. And you can survive and you can thrive no matter what your financial condition is, as long as you are taking the next steps towards fulfilling your purpose, your vision, your God-given vision. I'll show you how to do that. But three questions. Let's go back to that because I want to encourage you that money will not fulfill you, but doing what you were born to do will fulfill you. And the three questions that have to be asked start with number one, who do you think you are? In order to fulfill a vision for your life, the number one question, the number one thing, and in fact, the number one thing for just living a victorious or happy life is, who do you think you are? Now, that is a question that sounds like a challenge. It's used in negative connotation when we think of this sentence or think of this question. Who do you think you are? You know, we've told people off like that, right? Well, who do you think you are to tell me that? Who do you think you are? But I want you to use this question in the most positive way. Who is it that you actually think you are? Because if we're going to fulfill God's purpose for our lives, we must make war with whatever has stolen our identity. I must make war with whatever has stolen our identity. So asking the question, who do you think you are, is really asking the question, how do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? Because who is more important than do? Because who will always produce do? Who you think you are will actually produce in doing who you think you are, fulfilling the image and fulfilling the vision of who you see yourself as. What we have to do, and I want to show you how to do this, we have to pull down the images that are contrary to who God sees us as. We need to pull down the strongholds. That's what spiritual warfare is, not as much about binding devils as it is about pulling down the false images and the wrong beliefs about yourself. That is the truest form of spiritual warfare. The ultimate foundation of spiritual warfare is to win souls to Jesus Christ, to be born again. That is the greatest victory over the devil, because Jesus paid for that on the cross. But once we are born again, once you are moving forward in a relationship with God, the next most important thing to do in your life is to pull down the false images or the wrong mindsets about who you are, the wrong belief system, the wrong pictures of how you see yourself. How we see ourselves is framed mostly, at least physically, how we see ourselves physically is framed mostly by what we see in the mirror and what we think the mirror is telling us every day. And it's not just once a day, because we all look in the mirror multiple times every day for multiple reasons every day. And if we can begin to get a new vision for how we see ourselves, then we'll begin to fulfill our God-given vision. We have to not allow what we see in the mirror to confine us or define us. What we see in the mirror, both physically and spiritually, can simply be an inspiration to how much room we have to grow. We should stop looking at ourselves and condemning ourselves for where we're at, and realize where we're at is just a snapshot of where we're going to be. It's a snapshot, and it's going to change, and the picture is going to evolve. Once you learn how to hold fast in your mind the mental image of the person that God says you are, this will be congruent with the person you would most like to be, and the picture of what it would look like to be the man or the woman that you admire most. Then in every situation, when you act, when you talk, and when you make decisions, you will make them as that person who you envision yourself to be. First, we have a vision of who we are, and then we'll have a vision of what to do with our lives. But once you see who you are the way God sees you, and that's something that evolves, but you have to work at it, and you got to stay with it. Once you see who you really are as from God's point of view, then you start making decisions, and then you start taking actions that are congruent with who you see yourself as. And what will happen is that will cause you to constantly grow. Confidence in who you are is the first step to any accomplishment. And any accomplishment is the goals and the steps that you that you take to bring your vision to pass. But I want to say that again, confidence is the first step. Confidence is the first step to any accomplishment that you want to make in life. Now, confidence comes, now don't forget, I'm asking three questions, but we're only still on question number one. But confidence comes from three sources. And we need to realize this. Confidence, every person's level of confidence comes from one of these three things or a combination of these three things. What are they? Number one, our confidence comes from things. Now, putting our confidence in things is risky because those things can be taken away. You can lose those things. You can have those things stolen. You can have those things damaged. You can have those things destroyed. And sometimes those things can't be replaced. So if your confidence comes from things, then you're going to find yourself shaky in God's purpose for your life. Because in order to fulfill His purpose, there has to be confidence. But our confidence needs to be in the right things. So number one, your confidence can be in things. Those can be taken away. Your confidence can be in your abilities, but those things can fade. Even Michael Jordan stopped being the greatest basketball player at some point in his career. At the end of his career, he was no longer the greatest basketball player in the world at that moment. His abilities faded. An athlete can also tear their shoulder or their knee or some tendon. A pilot can lose the peripheral vision that he has in his younger years. His sight can worsen. So this is another thing that we shouldn't put our confidence in because it's going to fail us. So our confidence is going to either be in things, our confidence is going to be in our abilities, or our confidence can be in number three, which is where it needs to be, knowing who you are. Knowing who you are. This is the essential of building confidence that will then cause you to make the accomplishments that will bring you to God's vision for your life. Whew. Confidence comes from three things. Things, abilities, or knowing who you are, which is identity. If your confidence is built on anything other than who you are, it will fail. It will falter. It will be shaky. It will be unstable. It will not last. And it will not get you to God's purpose for your life or your vision for your life. Without a vision, Proverbs chapter 29 says, without a vision, people run aimlessly. Now you may say, well, shouldn't our confidence be in God? Obviously, and ultimately, our confidence is in God. No doubt about it. Put your trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll make your path straight. But the confidence I'm talking about is not whether it's not about the spiritual realm of putting your trust in God versus putting your trust in yourself. I'm talking about confidence in who you are, who God made you to be. This makes the devil run. Just trusting God, which is vital, step number one of living in life, right? Trusting God. But fulfilling a vision, it's knowing who you are. In fulfilling your ultimate potential, it starts with knowing who you are. It's knowing that you are a son or daughter of God, according to John chapter 1, verse 12. It's knowing that you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ, according to Romans chapter 8. It's knowing that you are seated with Him in heavenly places, according to Ephesians chapter 2. It's knowing that you are a king or a king and a priest in God's kingdom, according to Revelation chapter 1. It's knowing that you are a spirit-filled, God-filled, temple of God, child of God, man or woman of God, no matter what it looks like around you, no matter what's happening in your life, and no matter what the status you are in your present life right now. Knowing who you are puts the devil on the run. Knowing who you are causes you to break barriers. Knowing who you are elevates your vision. Knowing who you are gives your life meaning. Woo! Knowing who you are, it gives your life meaning. Well, there's nothing more fulfilling than having a life full of meaning. It's not a life full of things. It's a life full of meaning. It's a life full of significance. It comes from knowing who you are. And you know what that does? More than anything, it delivers you from comparisons. It delivers you from insecurity. It delivers you from a sense of inferiority and finding your identity in your gender or your race or your economic status. Those are all so fragile and so unstable and so incapable of maximizing your potential and you truly being the champion that God created you to be. Knowing who you are causes you to grow. It causes you to grow. And as the knowledge of who you are grows, your confidence grows. And as your confidence grows, your accomplishments grow. And when your accomplishments grow, more confidence grows. And now, all of a sudden, confidence takes over your choices. Confidence in who you are takes over what you're doing in your life. And your confidence causes you to come into alignment with God's purpose. Listen, you will immediately begin to act in life with more confidence, and you will begin to accomplish more things when you know who you are. Now, how do we grow in knowing who we are? I want you to look at a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, and this is so powerful. And it causes us to overcome the feelings of wanting to quit, wanting to give up, getting discouraged, losing heart. He says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outer man is perishing, our inner man is being renewed day by day. I want to read that to you again. He says, even though our outer, he said, therefore, we will not faint. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Therefore, we do not quit. Therefore, we do not give up. Therefore, we stay with it. We stay with it. Why? Because even if our outer man is perishing, now I believe we can continue to become better in our outward man. But his point is, compared to eternity, our outward man is perishing. But our inward man is being renewed day by day. And when your inward man is being renewed day by day, what happens is you realize life can get better day by day. And consistency over time, day by day, you grow into the person that you want to become. This is how experts succeed in every field. This is the secret. This is the key. This is a day by day development, a day by day progress, a day by day consistency, a day by day evolution, a day by day of not condemning yourself for where you were at yesterday, not limiting yourself to where you are today, but allowing yourself to grow and evolve day by day, being renewed day by day. Listen, you got nothing to lose to follow the steps I'm giving you because time is going to pass anyway. So you really have nothing to lose. If you follow the recipe I'm giving you or the path that I'm suggesting that you take to think like a champion and live like a champion, you got nothing to lose because time is going to pass anyway, so we might as well pass the time being renewed day by day. And how does this happen? How do we see who God says we are in the Bible, and then we see ourselves in the mirror or we see ourselves in our own mind as less than that? How do we get those congruent? How do we elevate our view of ourselves? Well, 2 Corinthians also in this same book in chapter 3, if we go back to verse 18, he says, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory, from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. I want to read that to you again because this is so vital. He says, we with unveiled face behold the glory of the Lord as in a mirror. He says, we're looking at God's glory through a mirror. In other words, the Word of God, and it says this in several other places as well, the Word of God is our mirror. I like to say, mirror, mirror, you know, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all from Sleeping Beauty or whatever, Snow White, thank you. I never get that right. Now I got Snow White. Okay, so I've rewritten those lyrics for us as people where we can say, mirror, mirror in the book, tell me how I really look. In other words, it's not what we see in the mirror of the physical mirror that tells us who we are. It's what we see in the Word of God that tells us who we are. Mirror, mirror in the book, tell me how I really look. I don't feel like I look great spiritually. I don't feel like I look great emotionally. I don't feel like I look great financially. I don't feel like I look great relationally. But let me look into the book to tell me who I really am and to tell me how I really look, because this is the truth and this will last forever because this is who God says you are. And what we do is if we will continue to reprogram our brain to see ourselves the way God sees us, as a son or daughter, as the head and not the tail, as above only and not beneath, as more than conquerors. And I can just go on and on of what God says you are and who God says you are. But as we continue to reprogram our mind with these images, what that does is it transforms us day by day into the image of God and who God made us to be. The only way we're going to develop true confidence and know who we really are is found in Romans chapter 12 when he says in the Message, verse 3, I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all God has given me, and especially as I have responsibility in relationship to you, living then as every one of you does in pure grace. It's not important, or it's important, he says, that you do not misinterpret yourselves as you bringing this goodness to God or you bringing this image to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and what God has done for us. Whew. The only way to truly understand yourself and see yourself is to truly understand what God says we are, who God says we are, and what he has done for us. And of course, it leads us to our building block, once again, of thinking like a champion, and our building block of all of the champion brands of this ministry, Champion Youth, and all the things that go with who we see ourselves as and who we believe that everybody has the power and has the calling to be a part of, a champion mindset and a champion family and a champion tribe. And Ephesians 1:11 is where that foundational verse is. It is only in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. It's only in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Okay, now, once you establish, once we get a hold of who we are and continue to reprogram our brain or rewire our brain to see ourselves the way God sees us, that's when you're going to start having the confidence to dream big and go after those dreams. Then this leads us to our second question. So the first question was, who do we think we are? Who do you think you are? And we talked about confidence, and we know now how to answer that question. Who do we think we are? And we gotta continue to keep the pedal to the metal on getting God's version of ourselves and seeing ourselves the way God says we are in Christ, right? So who do we think we are? Then the second question to ask is, what are your habits? Who do you think you are? Number one is a question to answer. And then what are your habits is the question that needs to be answered. Because the secret to long-term success in any of our lives is discipline. And it's a discipline of habits. It's not motivation. Motivation can just motivate you temporarily. Inspiration can inspire you temporarily. But discipline will cause you to succeed. And discipline is what needs to be married to vision. So once we have a vision of knowing who we are, once we know who we are, it is there we will find out what we're living for. We have to apply discipline to the habits that we make in our lives, because first we must make our habits, and then, good or bad, our habits will make us. Listen, don't miss this. First, we must make our habits, and then our habits will make us. So no matter who you are, your habits are going to make you. So you can make a choice in your life that you are going to make your habits, or you're going to let life evolve into the habits that come natural to you. But you will fail because those habits will make you. That's why we're not in control of what our habits will produce, but we are in control of what habits we choose. And when you form the right habits in your life, and I know this is something that Christians sometimes fight with, because some Christians will say, no, we don't need habits. We need to just follow whatever the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. And while I am one of my number one things in this life and purpose to be an advocate of the Holy Spirit and to empower people with the power of the Holy Spirit and to enlighten people to how amazing the Holy Spirit in our lives is, the Holy Spirit does not take place of disciplined habits. The Holy Spirit, if you want to truly be led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is leading you to develop new habits. The Holy Spirit is leading you to choose better habits. The Holy Spirit is leading you to form discipline in your life. And the Holy Spirit will enable you to fulfill those habits, but you've got to create them. You've got to write down what habits that you are going to make, and then those habits are going to make you. You got it? So for time's sake, I'll share a few of my habits in my life that are working for me. It doesn't mean I've arrived. I have certainly not arrived. I'm on my way, right? But these are the things over years that have become my habits in life. Number one is prayer. Praying in the Spirit, praying when I have anxiety, praying when somebody asks me to help them, praying when I need help myself. There's something about the power of prayer and making that a habit in your life. I just go to prayer whenever, you know, I'm really bad off or when I really need a miracle, but prayer as a habit. Start with 5 seconds of a habit of prayer. I told you this many times. Father, I thank you. Father, I trust you. Father, I love you. Just that 5-second prayer, making that a habit, it will make you. It will cause you to be dependent on God, trusting God, empowered by God, grateful to God. But so praying is one of the first, it's the first habit really in my life. And waking up in the morning is what we all hope we do tomorrow. The first thing we should do is pray. The first thing, make that a habit. First thing you do when you wake up, don't look at your phone, don't look at your messages, don't go back to sleep. Pray. If after praying for a few seconds or a couple minutes you fall back to sleep, so be it. Maybe God's blessing you with some more rest. Pray. Make that your habit. You don't have to pray for 24 hours. Just pray every 24 hours at the beginning of your day for a few seconds, and you developing that habit, then you grow it into minutes. Then you grow it into a regular lifestyle and expectation to pray at all times, like the Bible says we can do. Number two habit is speaking faith, speaking words of faith, words of enthusiasm, words of power, words from God's promises. It's prayer, talking to God, and then outward expression of prophesying to my life, speaking life over my life. Number three is exercise. That's not a goal, it is a habit. It's not something I hope I'm motivated to do one day, it's a habit. It's not something that I wish I would be better at, it's a habit. You don't have to wish for anything when you make this one of your habits. So number one, pray. Number two, speak God's word. Number three, exercise. Number four, invest money in the right things and be generous. Like getting a right relationship with money and having and maintaining a right relationship with money through regular generosity and regular investment. Generosity with my church, generosity to others, generosity as an attitude, and investing, making that a habit. And the next thing is the quality of relationships, making a habit to eat with family, making a habit to develop and stay in touch with the people that are in my life, the people that I feel I'm connected, supposed to be connected to, is giving time and attention to that quality of relationships. And reading is something that I've made it become a better and more established habit in my life. It's reading, and you can always learn, and you can always grow, and readers are leaders. I'm out of time. Those are some of the habits that are working in my life. I want to encourage you to join me in our next Think Like a Champion podcast. Thank you for joining this Think Like a Champion podcast. Would you share this with someone who needs to hear it? This is all about the power of vision, who we are, the habits we form. And then we'll talk about the third thing next time. Subscribe, though, to the podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. Please subscribe. Also, thank you to those of you who give. You can give to lifechangerschurch.com/give, and you can become a regular giver to help us build this community of champions. So thank you in advance for doing that. You can see a QR code or a link on your screen to do that as well. Until next time. Receive, receive, receive the goodness and kindness and love of God is following you all the days of your life, and keep thinking like a champion, and everything's going to be all right. God bless.